In the Bible, symbols are more than symbolic. I'll explain on this edition of Key Light.
Hey, if you're in the stuffy, turn off the radio now, because this is Key Light, designed to be honest, straightforward, and street smart. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Joshua. We're continuing with our Old Testament survey, and with each book, I'm giving you some handles that will help you in your understanding of that particular book. And in the case of Joshua, and I may be spending more time on this book than I ought to, but I just love the book of Joshua. It's one of my favorites, and we're just spending some time doing the book of Joshua. I'm taking you on a tour, listing up some of my favorite verses and teachings in the book of Joshua. We'll do that this week, maybe a little bit next week, and then we'll move on, or we're going to be here forever. So, continuing as my position as tour director, continuing with the tour, you look at Joshua 5:2. It says, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites. Let me talk to you just a little bit about symbolic stuff. Most people, Americans in particular, have a tendency to skip over this passage in general and the sign or symbol of circumcision in particular as irrelevant to anything important. I want you to, if you can, remedy that error in your mind. Someone says, I like my religion plain and simple. None of this hocus-pocus stuff for me. A church I once served in New England had big candelabras in front of the church. And some rich person had given them, who was really well-known in the church, but they wouldn't light the candles because somebody said that would make you Roman Catholic. And when the candles are on, the power is gone, one of the elders said. So this is true. I'm not kidding. And so we had these big, gigantic candelabras in the front of the church. And I've been there 6 months, and they knew I loved them. So I called a meeting of all the elders, and I said, look, I don't think we share a common view about symbols and stuff. I think candles can be wonderful symbols of the light of God, of Jesus, but we look really silly with putting these big candelabras in front of the church with no candles that are lit in them, so I'm going to make a proposal, and you can go either way, and it'll be cool with me because I'm your pastor and I love you. I would suggest that we either take the candelabras down, offend the person who gave them, sell them, and give the money to the Salvation Army, or, on the other hand, that we light the candles. Now, if you've been in the church very long, you know what we are. We're just talking about price. So what we did is that we lit the candles, and I think we did a very good thing. Let me tell you why. First, it's natural for us to have symbols of the realities that we believe. If you go to New England and you go to old Puritan churches, the ones that have been preserved, you'll find there is no symbolism there. I mean, the windows are clear glass. There's a high pulpit. And you look at it, and they're very barren. And you think, oh, man, they didn't believe in any symbols. But if you look closely at the pillow in the pulpit upon which the Bible rests, you'll see some of the most magnificent and profound works of art in all of New England. Why is that? Because you can't keep it down. There's something about human nature that requires symbols. And even though theologically they couldn't have symbols, they poured all of that creative stuff into a pillow on which the Bible rested. In the 60s, you remember the young man who sewed a flag across the back of his pants? And he said, listen, it's nothing but a piece of cloth. Well, it was that, but it was a lot more than that, because he, as a lot of people who were quite superficial in the 60s, misunderstood. There is a lot to symbols. In the Bible, for instance, symbols are important. Circumcision, baptism, come together, Colossians 2. Passover, the Lord's Supper, symbols of the temple, 1 Kings 7. The rod of Moses, the Ark of the Covenant, etc., etc. The scripture is replete with symbols. And that should give us an idea of their importance. Now, let me tell you three things you ought to remember about symbols and their importance. Item number one, symbols connect us with the past. I don't know why I'm talking so much about New England. I love that part of the country, but I like a lot of other parts of the country, too, especially Florida. Not in an election, but but during January, it's not a half-bad place to be. But I love New England. Have you ever been to Plymouth and looked down upon the Plymouth Rock? Let me read you what it says. This spot marks the final resting place of the pilgrims of the Mayflower. In weariness and hunger and in cold, fighting the wilderness, burying their dead in common graves that the Indians should not know how many had perished, they here laid the foundations of a state in which all men for countless ages should have liberty to worship God in their own way. All you who pass by and see this stone, remember and dedicate yourselves anew to the resolution that you will not rest until this lofty ideal shall have been realized throughout the earth. Listen to me. When you have a symbol like that, you remember that things didn't start yesterday. We have a connection with the past, and it's become a cliche, but it's true that those who do not connect or know the past are doomed to repeat it. Whenever you ordain your pastor, by the way, you're remembering that this is an ordination that goes all the way back to the time of Jesus. You're remembering, and you're connected. How about communion? Same thing. When you observe Eucharist, when you observe communion, you're doing something that Christians have done for 2,000 years. You're doing something that connects you with the past. Item number two. Secondly, symbols not only connect us with the past, symbols express that which cannot be verbalized. What people say about tongues, you know what they say, and I'm not charismatic, although I have a lot of brothers and sisters I respect a lot who are Pentecostal. They always say to me, aren't there times when you want to praise God but you don't have the words? Shoot, a lot of times, if you ever seen a Florida sunset in Miami driving out to Key Biscayne, and you think you've got words to praise God for that, you're about as shallow as a child's wading pool. I mean, sometimes it is so breathtaking and so awesome and so magnificent that you got to pull over to the side of the road and just sit there. My wife and I, on a dozen occasions, have done that, and we don't say a word to each other. We don't say, isn't that beautiful, because that's inadequate. We don't say, oh, what a beautiful, those words seem pedestrian compared to what we're looking at, so we just sit there, we just watch. Now, I understand when somebody says, do you not have words that are adequate? When your child is born and you observe birth for the first time, do you have the words to describe that? Of course you don't. Let me say that there are a lot of things in life that we can't express in words. The Vietnam Memorial in Washington is a statement to express some things that you just can't write a book about. You just can't get it. A kiss is a symbol that expresses something where saying, I like you a lot, isn't going to be enough. The day my brother and I went back to our roots, we visited a general store in our grandmother's grave in the old school where our daddy went to school. To this day, I don't know why it was so right, but there was something in all of that which expressed something we couldn't verbalize. We couldn't touch our father. He had just died. But we went back to his roots, and there was something symbolic and wonderful about it. Let me give you another item. This is item three. Thirdly, symbols not only connect us with the past, express things that are difficult to verbalize. Symbols also represent and call to mind a reality behind those symbols. William Temple said, worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God. There are sense. And if I continue with this, I'm going to run out of time. This is a subject that I've only scratched the surface of, or for you English teachers, of which I've scratched the surface. But there's a sense in which words are symbols. They represent a reality, too. When you use like words like love and compassion and home, they're powerful words. And they say something really important to us about a symbolic reality. Right after the assassination of John Kennedy, I was a young pastor, and you will remember the churches were filled in those days. I didn't want to have a service. I liked John Kennedy okay, but thought that people should pray in their homes. But you know what happened? At the little church I was serving down on Cape Cod during that time, we decided to have a service because people didn't know where to go. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know how to deal with it. They didn't know how to put it into focus. John Kennedy had been assassinated, and we needed a symbolic representation of something that was stronger and more real and more important. And so the pagans and the believers streamed into the little church on Cape Cod. In fact, we didn't have chairs for them. Why was that? Because sometimes you need a symbol to point you to something that's bigger and more profound and more real than our fallen world. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, listen, let me tell you what we've done. We're bringing back something that we've offered before, but I think a lot of you who wanted this didn't get it, or we maybe ran out, so we have some more. As you know, we get a lot of questions around here, thousands of questions, and I asked the staff to pick out the 10 most asked questions and include it in a booklet. And so if you'd like this, I'd like to send it to you. Questions like, what does the Bible teach about homosexuality? What is the biblical role of women in the church and in a marriage relationship? Is it possible to lose my salvation? What is grace? How do I know God's will? This booklet has the answers to those and some other questions. Love to send it to you for you without charge or obligation. Give us a call, Key Life, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N38583. You can email us, steve@keylife.org. And if you can include a contribution, I would appreciate it. You can charge it on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, and I'll send you as my thank you when you request it for any contribution. What about the fast, the good day? Gotta go. I'm out of time. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.